What's going on, everyone, and welcome into the first episode of the Porto Podcast in English. I am your host, Rui dos Santos, and we have a fantastic episode for you all today, for all you Portistas around the world. This is the podcast to link all of us and distribute all the news to you all. I am alongside Jason Regu, my co-host. How are you, man?
Doing well. I'm excited to get started.
Yeah, man, I feel like this has been a long time coming. We flirted around with this idea of the Porto podcast a couple of years ago. And then this January, I was out of work for a little while because I had an injury. So I decided to start a page. I'm like, you know what? I think this is the perfect time to just like settle down and start this project. And I'm glad that we're really just taking it off.
Yeah, I think this is an area that's needed fulfillment for a while, and I think we're ready to do it.
Yeah, man, when we talk about Porto, it's one of the most historic clubs all around the world. It's got a rich history, even recent history, won the Champions League less than 20 years ago. We're the last team outside of the top four leagues in the world to win a Champions League, and all the trophies, all the players that came through our youth rankings, or they just came through the club and just made a name from themselves. Porto has that rich legacy of having great players and great success, and there's just not a lot of exposure in the English world or even in the podcast world. And this is something that Porto Twitter, or even just the Porto community all around the world, definitely needed. And I'm super ecstatic you know, to start this project and, you know, meet some cool people along the way and just link everyone together. So it's something that I've been looking forward to for several months, and we're finally here, man. So, Jason, I know not too many people really know much, or especially in the Porto community, know too much about you and about me. I have a podcast that's been going on for a few years already, but let's talk about you. Let's talk about what you do in the football world. And also, tell us how you became a Porto fan.
I was born and raised. It's in my blood. My dad's from northern Portugal, behind the mountains, Trás-os-Montes. And I was born, came out the womb with the Porto full kit. And ever since then, just Porto's had my heart.
Yeah, you know, it's hard to say how I became a Porto fan, because my entire family likes Benfica and Sporting, and I'm the only one that likes Porto. But my first jersey ever was a 1997 Sergio Conceição jersey, and I don't know what it was that made me a Porto fan. I don't know if it's because it was the era that they were succeeding, but from, you know, 4 or 5 years old, that's when I became a fan, and that jersey just hooked me into Porto. And my family is from northern Portugal as well. My mother's from Mangualde, and my dad is from the Leiria area, but Mangualde is where we spend most of our time whenever we went to Portugal. So for me, that's just how it all started. So tell us about what you do in the football world, Jason. You run a club here locally called Providence City Rogues FC. You started it back in 2015, and I love how you influenced some of that Portuguese culture into the squad. So tell us a little bit about that.
I mean, just growing up as a Porto fan, right? I followed them. I didn't follow American sports.
Yep.
So just that culture alone has already been instilled in me, embedded in me. I'd watch the RTP. I'd go to the Portuguese clubs to go watch every game. So just watching how a football club actually operates and how it's different from an American, I guess, franchise. I've taken notes. I've paid attention. It's just, it operates much different, right? It's a culture thing. Like, your team loses, like, your city's sad, like, for the full week. Here you lose, your fans are pissed off for a day talking crap on the radio, right?
Right.
It's much different, and that's something that I've always felt like I've loved, and I've lived it. So I wanted to incorporate and instill the cultures of European soccer in Porto, specifically because the city itself is definitely much different than many other clubs. So just being a fan kind of made me do what I do and influence my operations of Providence City FC. Sure.
Yeah, and for those of you that haven't heard about Providence City FC, it's an amazing club. It's in the USL?
It's currently no. So it's currently an amateur club, right? We have players from the USL, all the semi-pro leagues, a bunch of D1 schools. Yep. But we're in the Bay State Soccer League, which is based out of Boston. And it's a great league. There's over 48 teams, right? There's three divisions, promotion, relegation. And there's quite a few former pros and high-level players in the league. And that's where we continue to compete. And then we'll compete in, like, the U.S. Open Cup, which is an amateur cup. And then we'll find any competition that's a high level for my guys to play in.
Yeah, I think the whole project of that has been amazing. And I've seen it grown since the beginning. Some of my friends that I played football with over the years have participated on your team and in the league, and its success. You guys have moved along very well, and you guys made a name for yourself for having like the best kit around, and you guys are known for, I guess you can say globally, because people from yeah. all over the world buy your kits and they're obsessed with it. And I love how you guys made, and I have a kit upstairs that has the Azulejo theme from the city of Porto that you see in all those churches and everything. And you guys made a kit out of that. You have the the Barcelos as well. I think that's so amazing. So obviously you have an amazing track record in football, and you get involved with a local team that's been growing a lot. So that's a little bit about ourselves here. Obviously, we are both born. You were born here in the United States, right? I was too. So, but we've held on to our roots. We've held on to our culture. We love the sport, and we're two diehard Portistas. And we're really excited to just connect with all of you and talk all things Porto. So, Jason, let's kind of just jump in a little bit. We're not going to go too deep into this season just yet, but I guess we can talk about. Obviously, Porto are coming off a huge win against Tondela in the Supertaça. Looks like we did pretty well in that game. Namazu got some minutes in, and you know the regular starters, more or less, from last season participated and did really well. Ivan Nilsson and Taremi both scored in that game. What are your expectations for this season?
I think if we can manage to keep the current team and not lose any key players, I think it'll be another strong season. I think we're going to compete for the title again, as long as we don't lose a key guy like Otavio, right? And with this current team already having Champions League experience, I think we should fight to get out of the group stages, right? We were stuck in the group of death last year, a little unfortunate. We slipped up against AC Milan, tying them, and then we slipped up against Atletico, and we still could have made it out of the group. But I think we live and we learn, and I think this club, its current state, I think we still get out of the group stages with this team at the moment.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think one of the pros, you know, there's a lot of worrying, right? Because we just lost Fabio Vieira. We just lost Chico Conceição that, you know, was expected to kind of break out this year, to be the Vitinha, to be the Fabio Vieira, to be the Luis Diaz of, you know, the last two seasons to finally break out. But one of the things that I can really appreciate and one of the things I'm really excited about is, and I believe that we can still win this season despite losing all these key players, is just that we always have these players that step up and rise to the occasion, like Fabio Vieira and Vitinha. We were going into last season like, okay, who are going to be the guys that step up? Were we really expecting Fabio Vieira and Vitinha to like flourish the way that they did? We knew they had potential, but were they going to step up? And they ended up doing that. And I think it's one thing about Sergio Conceição is with these young players, and as stubborn as he is with his tactics and his formation, he finds a way to extract their potential. And, you know, being played in their positions, they're able to extract their strengths, and it mitigates their weaknesses. And I think that this year, even though a lot of Portistas are panicking that we lost key players, I think there's a lot of potential here. I think there are other players that can fill in those roles, maybe not as effectively, because we saw it in mid-January when we lost Luis Diaz. Like, we were panicking about, are we going to finish strong? Are we going to win the league? And it seemed like we never really lost him. Obviously, we missed him because he was unreal, but we still got the job done. We only lost one game the entire season.
I think we just filtered the ball in a different area, right? We didn't play it through the wing as much. And now Taremi got fed a little bit more.
Yeah.
And he took care of his chances, right?
Yeah, and as frustrating as those losses were, and especially Chico Conceição, I love the David Carmo signing. And I love the young players that we still have. We have Pep, we have Otavio, we have Namasu that just came up in the ranks, had a really good season in Porto B. So there's a lot of expectations there. We still have Teremi. Even Nielsen is, you know, a goal machine whenever he's on the pitch. And I think this season, he's going to break out. If Sergio Conceição is going to deploy that 4-4-2 that he loves so much, him and Teremi are really going to be a force. They're going to be a great duo. So I guess I'll ask you this question. Do you think Porto fans are overreacting a bit to all the transfers? I mean, you have to side with them and understand the frustration, but do you think it's more of an overreaction?
I mean, to me, this is just a normal cycle, right? This is how the club operates. We've always bought players low and we sold high, and these cycles are just normal, right? Our club kind of operates in like a two-year cycle, and to me, this is nothing new. And like you're saying, the most frustrating one to see leave is probably Chico, right? Because we don't know what's going on there. Maybe we don't have the information available to us. But aside from that, everyone else, they have replacements. They have guys with potential. Even like the left wing, like I could see Galeno this year stepping it up. He might start slow, right? That's normal. But I think by January, he's going to have it figured out. And I think he's going to be a key player this season.
Yeah, he's going to have to be. Yeah. We're going to have to rely on these players that, Galeno not really stepping up when we brought him in January, and it was okay that he didn't because we had so much depth. Now this is kind of like the time. Like, we don't have Fabio Vieira. We don't have Vitinha. We don't really have, and this is one of the worrying things about our team, is we don't really have that, like, number 10 or that number 8 or that number 6 that can, like, really control the midfield. So a player like Galeno, his ability and his potential has to step up and, you know, fulfill what we're expecting for him. I already touched up a bit on it. Is there a position along the starting 11 that worries you the most?
I think it's probably center back. Is Pepe going to last the season? Is he going to do half a season? What's going on there? You know, like, we definitely have a good backup, Fabio Cardoso, but who's the replacement? Bemba's gone, right?
Yep.
And now it's Pep.
David Carmo, which I think is a great signing. I think he was great last year.
And that's a great pairing, right? But
yeah,
after that pairing, it drops off tremendously.
Yeah,
right?
It's going to be concerning. And I think Pep is going to finish the season strong, and I think that's it for him after this. But, you know, we have to consider the fact that there is a chance that after January, you know, you and I talked about this before the podcast. I think you mentioned that you think that he's playing just until January because he wants to play in the World Cup. And to be in the World Cup, you have to be at your maximum level. So hopefully that is the case where he does finish off the entire season strong. But if he doesn't, you know, I guess I understand that pairing where Fabio Cardoso and David Carmo is going to be your duo. That could also be a possibility. But for me, mostly, I think just having that center midfielder, whether it's, you know, I love Matheus Uribe. I think he's great all around, box to box, ruthless, energetic, does everything, all the dirty work, great. But who's going to be the other guy? Who's going to be the Sergio Oliveira from a couple of years ago? Who's going to be the Vitinha from last year, even the Fabio Vieira? Who's going to be that guy that's going to control the tempo and dictate? That's one thing that I'm going to be a little concerned about. And are we going to have to rely on the wingers to compensate that, you know, that flaw? Because we don't really have a creative midfielder right now. That's a little bit worrying on my end. I think defensively, the way that Sergio Conceição deploys his team, it's always defensive. It's very organized. And despite not having, like, the best talent, he finds a way to just kind of be defensively sound, you know, with what he has, with the tools that he has. But attacking-wise, getting forward, that's the thing that concerns me the most, you know. I don't know. What say you about the midfield?
I think he's going to have to go. I think a lot of the goals are going to come from wing play this year, right? I think our middle is going to be rock solid defensively. I don't think there'll be too many holes. Because I do see Uribe and Grujic playing a lot together.
Yep.
And like you said, is it Namasu playing the 10? Which there's a good chance it is, right? Because he's gonna instill the same formation. He's not going to change too much. It's Sergio. He knows his success, his winning formula. He's going to stick to it. But I think Uribe and Grujic will be fine. They both have great experience. And they're not prone to too many errors defensively. maybe offensively they don't have that final pass, right, that you're asking for from the number 10. But I think they'll be rock solid. I don't see them conceding too much. And then, I mean, we do have Diego Costa between the sticks. So the midfield doesn't concern me too much because I think we still have the wing play. And I think he'll just have to change maybe some attacking plays. They'll probably just have to change it a little bit. It won't rely on as much individual creativity as they did last year, right? There was a lot of brilliant moments where he definitely couldn't have coached them through that. It was just Vitinha and it's just those guys creating from the mind. They didn't even think about it. They just saw the opportunity and they slotted the guy through. This year, it might be some more individual effort coming down the wing and crossing the ball through to Ivan Nilsson and Taremi, and they can both finish, whether it's the feet or the head. Yep. They're natural-born strikers, both of them. They're a great pairing. And they complement each other well.
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, Taremi being so well experienced and Ivan Nilsson just kind of making his way up. We're trying to finally see what this guy's made of. And he did great last year for the minutes that he played, the goals that he scored. He was fantastic. Now, I guess, you know, and I think that's one of the points that I was trying to make. It's these players, these younger players that we don't really expect to have the great seasons that they do, like, you know, Luis Diaz, Fabi Vieira, Vitinha in the last couple of seasons. Ivan Nilsson can be that guy. He's one of those guys. Pep, the Brazilian Pep, the Brazilian nationalized Pep, is one of those guys too. So let's go in. I'm going to ask you two questions before we move on to our Twitter questions that we're going to answer. What are your expectations for this season? Where are we going to finish? And how do you think we're going to do this this weekend against Marítimo?
So I think we'll finish top two, right? I think every season we want to be champions, right? That's the goal. But I think from up above, Champions League is the ultimate goal every season. They need the Champions League money to compete, right? They need the Champions money to buy players. And they need the Champions League money to operate as a club as they do. And be able to take the risks they do and then sell the players high. I think Champions League is always the ultimate goal because that money is so important to clubs in Portugal that people, they don't want to talk about that, but there was seasons where Porto finished in second and it was, with what they had on paper, it was a successful season.
Right.
And don't get me wrong, I want to be champions every season, but there's sometimes it's just not realistic. You look at the clubs around you and sometimes Benfica or Sporting have a better team than you. And it is what it is, but if you can solidify that Champions League spot and not miss out on Champions League money, that is a big success for the club.
Yeah, you know, football has changed so much. And we have a couple of questions on Twitter that are kind of regarding that a bit. But it's sometimes for some certain teams, it's like finishing in the top four in England, Italy, and Spain. It's like winning the league for them because it guarantees them the Champions League. And when you make it to the Champions League, you're guaranteed X amount of euros or X amount of pounds. And when you have those pounds, you can reinvest in the club. You can spend more. You can do, you know, whatever. You have more flexibility. Once you fall out of that spectrum, you know, it only takes one or two years where when you end up being in a pit, and it's going to be even, you know, we don't have years and years of data to rely on. But it seems to be that once you start falling out of the Champions League, it's going to be harder and harder to get back in. It's like being relegated. It's harder and harder to get back in, maintain players, get attraction, get the money to reinvest and do all the things to make your club big. I always hope that we're going to finish in that Champions League spot. I'm glad that we got that the Portuguese League's got that third spot. Benfica just won their match to qualify for the Champions League. You know, it's great for them to have that extra cushion because for years, the pressure was on to finish just in the top two to get into the Champions League. So I kind of do celebrate being in the Champions League like it's a league title because we all want to win. But the most important thing is to be successful, you have to qualify for the Champions League. I totally agree with you on that. This weekend against Marítimo. What do you think, man?
I think if they can just keep the momentum they have going, it'll be a W. They'll definitely get the 3 points. And because it's at home, if it was at Marítimo, it would be a different story. They always give us a hard time away. But I think with what we have at the moment, all the players available to us, aside from the suspensions, everyone that's healthy, I think we have enough firepower to take them on.
Yeah, and I think I'm getting this vibe that it's like us against the world right now, us against the rest of Portugal, because it just seems like the lack of respect that we're getting for winning the way that we did last year. It seems like, you know, we're, it wasn't justified. There's so many complaints from our opposition rivals that, it was robbed, it was fixed, it was this or that, but like they ignore the fact that we played so well. And I think this year, it's just going to carry, it's going to fuel up Sergio Conceição, it's going to fuel up all these players. Players like Fabio Cardoso, who just absolutely hates Benfica after playing for them. It's like he never played for them before. He has so much hate for them. I think it's just, it's like we're going to go like on an FU tour this year. So I think, yeah, that momentum is going to carry into this season. And I think we're going to go right in and we're going to pick up where we left off despite missing key players from last year. So I think, you know, my predictions, I think we're going to win 2-0. So.
Yeah, I'd say 2-0, 3-1, for 3-1. Sure. I think, I mean, we have Sergio Conceição at the head of the realm, right? He's experienced, he knows how to win. And like you're saying, all these antics off the field that everyone attacking Porto for just nonsense, because they're not the winners, right? It's just being sore losers.
Right.
Because we hear this from fans of every club when their club doesn't win the championship. We hear it from Porto fans, we hear it from Benfica fans, Sporting fans. But I think for Sergio, this is fuel, and he gets locked in. I think this is just going to light him up, and I think he's ready to go.
I think so too. So let's jump into the last part of the show before we wrap things up. Let's get into some Twitter questions, and we have one Instagram question. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at FC Porto ENG, and also on Instagram at FC Porto ENG as well. Use the hashtags if you wish whenever you reach out to us or comment. So first question comes from our friend Crispy Chris at Crispy Chris 2. Has Pinto da Costa lost his fastball?
Oof. Yeah, I'd say yes. It's not a personal attack. I just think it's age. Like, I mean, I don't think he's been calling all of the shots for a while now. I think he's just a figurehead at the moment. I think he's still involved in every decision, but I think he's got a lot of voices chirping in his head. Yeah. I don't think it's like the old times. It's the empire he created. He's no longer in as much control anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, for me, I feel like, it's the age. And I think the game has progressed a lot too. And when you reach that certain age, you know, it's just, things just don't become the same. And with everything changing quickly, like football has in the last 4 to 5 years, since that Neymar transfer to PSG, football has just completely changed. And it's been even more money centralized than ever before. And, you know, you kind of just look back at just the transfers being made. What we sold Vitinha, Fabio Vieira, and Luis Diaz for. We were making this money on players like André Silva, Falcão, Jackson Martinez. And these are players from 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago. This was prime money in that era, 14, 15, 2016. This isn't the proper money to get for these caliber players. And that's the frustrating part. Even with Chico Conceição, just having a 5 million euro release clause. So, yeah, I think I would agree. I think a part of it has to be, part of all that happens to be with, you know, Pinto da Costa just being at the helm, but not really being that modern guy that's coming with the times. Grateful for everything that he's ever gave us, that brought to us. He's one of the greatest presidents ever in the history of football. I think it's time to move on.
One thing interesting to note, though, is his profit margins are still insane. So his Luis Diaz deal was comparable to the Darwin Nunez deal in terms of profit margin. It's right around the same amount.
Yeah.
So in terms of money, maybe in the marketing headlines it's not the same, but in profitability, it's still there, which is key to the club's operation, right?
Yeah, and listen, like we look at Fabio Vieira and Vitinha, both youth products, so they cost the club zero. And you're making a 35 million and 40 million surplus, which is great on paper. The frustrating part is we felt like we should get more. So I guess that's the downfall part. But at the end of the day, it's still good business, but I think it could have been better.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. And one thing to note about the Darwin deal, it's a long-term deal, right? So when a club pays for a guy and it's a big price tag, they spread it out over that contract,
yeah.
Right? Payments. So the club's not looking at that initial fee. They're looking at the yearly fee.
Yeah.
And Darwin being a long-term contract, that contract doesn't look as bad for the fee.
Right. So next question comes from FCP1992. Three questions: with Pep being almost 40, do we lack center back depth? Do we need a backup now with Marquezon gone? And why aren't we signing a center attacking midfielder, a number 10? Oof, oof. We sort of kind of touched up on it a bit. You know, Pep being 40 and we have that fear of him. You know, no one beats Father Time. When you reach 40, it's hard to maintain that level. So if he does fall off, luckily we do have David Carmo, but is Fabio Cardoso enough? I don't know.
I don't think he's enough. He's not going to replace him, right? He's going to be a short-term solution. Pepe is definitely going to take games off, whether we like it or not. This is due to injury or not. His legs cannot play the whole season. They have Champions League ball. They have the Tossage. And then they have international games, right? Even leading up to the World Cup. So he's going to have to take games off. So Cardoso will be the fill-in. But to reach that level of Pepe's, I don't think we'll have that fill-in this season. But I still think Fabio Cardoso will get the job done to still win the match. It won't be as convincing as Pepe, but I think he's still enough. Especially from Sergio Conceição, I think gets the full potential out of him. And I think he's bought into Sergio Conceição.
Yep.
So I think he's fine as a backup. But say he takes a knock, yeah, we lack the depth. Yeah, we sort of lack the depth. There's no question there. We definitely do.
Yeah, that's the fearity, and it's reality that Pep, it's a risk because he's 40. What else do you want him to do? He's been great since he signed with us. So hopefully, you know, Pep does last this entire season, goes into the World Cup strong, finishes the season strong, but we have to take into consideration he's not going to play the 34 games. So hopefully Fabio Cardoso is enough. He is pretty solid in the games that he's played, a few mistakes here and there, but I still think he's okay as a backup. So hopefully things go well for us and, you know, Pep finishes out the season strong. Now, this is an interesting situation, interesting question. With Marquezon gone, you know, it was a blessing to have a guy like that as a backup. You know, he just won the Supertaça with us, was great with us as a starter after Casillas had to retire. You know, not too many teams in the Portuguese league have a good quality backup goalkeeper. So, I mean, if we're going to expect that Diogo Costa is going to be hurt, yeah, we'll worry. But I don't know. Are you really concerned about that position?
No, like you said, we were spoiled. Like, there's no club in Portugal that have two number ones, right? We're not Real Madrid. We just got lucky. Marchezin took a knock. Diogo Costa stepped up, and then he earned the number one spot, right?
Yeah.
So Marchezin sat the bench just due to contract terms. And we were spoiled, but no other club has two number ones in Portugal. Yeah. So, I mean, we were spoiled. I don't think there's too much to worry about there. Obviously, freak incidents happen, but I could see Diogo Costa staying healthy for the season. He's young, he's nimble, and he's going to be our number one for the season.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't think there's too much to worry about there. It just wasn't normal, the situation we were in. We've never had that before.
Yep. And our backups right now are Claudio Ramos and Francisco Meixedo. So maybe those two are going to be dueling it out for the number two spot. Next question is from Shooting 2 at Sayoko 76. I am confused with the way of our transfers. Why can't we keep young and promising stars such as Luis Diaz, Fabio Vieira, Vitinha, etc., etc.?
I mean, at the end of the day, we are a stepping stone. We are not Liverpool. We're not Real Madrid. We're not Barcelona. We don't have that money. Those are the top-tier clubs. You just can't compete with the money. At the end of the day, it's bigger contracts. They pay the fee. Our clubs need those fees to operate as we do. Yep. And our business model is to buy low, sell high. Those clubs buy high and they don't sell anybody. Sometimes they just let the contract terms run out because they have that type of money. It's just a different ballgame. We're just not in the same tier as those clubs. And at the end of the day, that's life. And we kind of have to accept our role in the football world. And that's why us making the Champions League is so crucial, because we'll get that immediate buyout of, what is it, 40 million euros at the moment?
Yep.
And that's guaranteed. So it's the nature of football. It's modern day football. It's money. There's nothing else to it. We want those guys to go off, because if not, we can't operate as we do.
Right.
And we can't afford their contracts, because they know their worth. They're at Porto because maybe they're tearing it up in Colombia. They're tearing it up in Brazil. But if they go to Porto, they get exposed to Champions League football, where those big money clubs can see them, and that's where they're going to get bought.
Yep, it's like we are the Farmers League or the Youth Academy of the Liverpools, the Barcelonas, the Real Madrids. That's why I always say commercialization is key to success. You know, we see the German League doing much better, the French League much better. Obviously, PSG had the buyout played a part in the league's commercialization, but the league itself needs to get involved and do better to commercialize. Get more exposure, increase the revenues, broadcasting rights. It's so important, and I feel like the Portuguese League, along with the Italian League, are just way behind and are living in an era that is way behind, and they need to update. So if we want to keep these players, somehow we as a club need to do better commercializing, but also the league has to be the leader in that. So that's my take on that. I think commercialization is so key. It's the recipe to success in football nowadays. Next question is from Jordan D'Souza at Jordy, LIKE. Which players from other Portuguese league teams do you think would be good fits for Porto this season? I like Almeida a lot from Guimarães. I think he's a great midfielder. I think he can do the job that Vitinha had, that Sergio Oliveira had a couple of years ago. He's a more of a creative central player, and I think that's what we need the most. I really liked Lincoln from Santa Clara last year, but he went to Fenerbahce. But I feel like for me, we need that creator in the midfield. We have a ton of defensive and deep-lying midfielders. We need someone that can create. And we can just rely on another player that's more creative, not just on the wingers and the strikers.
I mean, at the moment, there's no one that sparks my interest, because I still truly believe in the players we have at the moment. I think we're a solid squad.
Yep.
When January comes around, that may change my mind. And obviously, with Portuguese football being gone for quite some time, maybe there's people that slip my mind. But not until January will I have a better idea of, is there someone from Braga that we want? Is there someone from Guimarães, right? The clubs that we usually take players. So we'll see. But at the moment, there's no one that sparks my interest per se.
So you're just ready to go into the season. Hit the ground running. All right, I like that. Again, I think with the signings that we've made, the players that we have, I think we're good. I think we just need one piece of the puzzle. To me, it's that center midfielder. But I still think we can do well even without him. Next question, Andrew Aruda at Drew FCP. How long will it take Benfica and Sporting fans to say this season is fixed? I say November.
I will say this Saturday if Porto wins the game.
I think if we get a penalty, the next penalty that we get, I think. So it might be this weekend because, you know, we're a good team. We attack. We're lethal in the box. And to get a penalty, you have to have quality, and you have to put the ball in the box. So, I don't know. Maybe it'll start this weekend. If not, maybe next weekend. Next question we have from Instagram. Why sell Conceição for pennies, and why are we selling our good players? Oof. You know, we kind of just touched up on it. We're a money ball squad. We're kind of like the youth academy of all the big boys. And unfortunately, we just don't have the financial means. We don't bring in the revenues to maintain all these players and with FFP on our backs, we've been held under a microscope. So it's hard. You know, it's hard to keep up and just hold on to all these players. I was hopeful that we would have like our own last dance with all these youth academy players, you know, just hang on to Vitinha and Fabio Vieira for one last season and maybe have that majestic run that Ajax had in 2019. But unfortunately, that's just the way football is.
Yeah, I agree. I think those players definitely left too soon. Like we were talking about earlier, we were usually on a two-year cycle, but this year seems like a one-year cycle for those guys. But it is, like we said, it's the nature of football and money. It is what it is. What's interesting is the Chico situation. Apparently, we just don't have enough information because he's going to Ajax, right? They're not much different than Porto. Like, both clubs have good history. You can even argue the Portuguese league's better than the Dutch league, right?
Yeah, I think so.
It's more competitive at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And then he's going there for a fee of $5 million. Like, that's just bad business on our part. Like, we just didn't write the clause properly. We didn't fix it after we noticed that it was too cheap, after he was getting those great minutes in each match. It was looking like he was going to be a starter this season based on last season.
Yeah, given his form from last year, we all thought that he's going to be the next big thing. And he was, what was it, FIFA or French football's top 100 golden boys of, you know, his, you know, of whatever, however they sort that all out. He was a golden boy. He had tons of potential. How they just had a 5 million euro release clause on him, have no idea. Doesn't make sense. What also doesn't make sense is that he's leaving to Ajax, which is kind of like the Porto of the Dutch league. And the Dutch league, in my opinion, is not nearly as good as the Portuguese league. Ajax are a phenomenal club, rich history, know how to extract young players and grow them into superstars. We've seen it. Just doesn't make any sense. You're a Porto fan. Your dad's a coach. You're in Portugal. You're in a better league. You could say you're in a better club. Why leave? It does not make any sense to me whatsoever. And there's something behind the scenes that we don't know about yet. Hopefully we do find out, because it's just so frustrating after all the transfers that we made that were already frustrating, and it just to cap it all off with something like that, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it pains me to see young talent just walk. That guy was definitely left too soon. Like, we're talking about Vitinha leaving too soon and Fabio Vieira. This guy didn't even have an actual season with us. He wasn't a starter. He was a sub, a super sub. And the moments he was on the pitch, it was brilliant. He worked hard every moment, right?
Scored some winners.
He created a ton of chances.
Right.
And when he lost the ball, he worked to get it right back. Like, he has Porto Conceição DNA in him. Yeah, it's just sad to see him walk.
He's got that garra, you know, that Porto garra, that Tripeiro garra. Like, he's a warrior and he has that passion. It just doesn't make any sense. The quality that he has, like the Messi of Olival, like, it's so depressing. It's more depressing than Vieira and Vitinha leaving, because it just doesn't make any sense. So it's unfortunate. Hopefully we do find out what happened between that whole deal, because it is like one of the mysteries of football. It just doesn't make sense. But Jason, I think that just does it for this first episode. I hope you all enjoyed it. Any last words before I wrap things up?
No, that's about it. I'm glad we started. This has been on the back burner for a little bit, and I'm glad you got this going. The momentum's here, and we're going to keep going with it.
The momentum's here, and the season is just about to start. I'm more excited than ever because we got this. We have a great little following on the social media pages, some great people that follow us and interact with us, give us so much support, and you guys do provide us with great comedy too, because some of the things that I see on the timeline are just so funny, and it's great banter, really good people that have interacted with us, and I hope it continues to grow. We get to make some relationships and connections with all of you, and hopefully if we continue to grow this show, we want to get all of you involved as much as we can, just kind of creating a little bit of a Porto community English is the international language of the world, and we want to get everyone involved as much as we can. And stay tuned, because there's going to be a lot more coming. And hopefully you all enjoyed the show, and we'll see you on the next episode of the Porto Podcast in English.